So this morning we're on part two of our series in the book of Philippians titled Increasing Your Joy. We're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1 verses 12 through 18a. And if you're using the Bible under the chair in front of you, Philippians chapter 1 verses 12 through 18a is on page 951. So remember, Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter to the church in Philippi. He wrote it to encourage them in their faith. But Paul not only encourages the Philippians and us with his words, but also with his attitude. So as we read through this passage, take notice of Paul's attitude toward his situation. And notice what his heart is focused on. So let's read through Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18a. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for just being here with us, filling us with you. Father, we thank you for this time to gather together and focus on your word and to look at Paul and see what lessons we can learn through Paul this morning in your word. Father, we pray that we come in here with open hearts and open minds this morning, that we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here Paul is sitting in a prison in Rome, waiting for his trial. The first thing he talks about isn't a woe is me story. His focus isn't on himself. It isn't on his situation. He didn't complain about the food, how he was treated, or the fact that he couldn't go anywhere. Paul was on a mission, and his focus, regardless of his situation, was on how God could use him to spread the gospel message. You know, that was the first thing Paul wanted everyone to know. He wanted them to know that through his situation, the gospel message was being spread. You know, what an example for us to follow. Now, I'm sure that we've all heard one of our Christian brothers or sisters complaining about something that they've had to deal with, or some situation that they're going through. Or maybe some of our Christian brothers and sisters have heard us complaining about something once in a while. As Christians, that's something that we shouldn't be doing, at least on a regular basis. When we're complaining, we're saying that we're not happy with the way God is handling our life. We're saying that we think we have a better way, that we know what's better for us than God does. So as followers of Jesus Christ, we should know better. David Livingstone was a Scottish missionary and explorer who spent 33 years in the heart of Africa. He encountered a lot of suffering as he worked to spread the gospel and open the continent to missionaries. This godly missionary once remarked, "People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice which is simply paid back as a small part of a great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger now and then, with the foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But this should only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall hereafter be revealed in and for us. I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice which he made, who left his Father's throne on high and gave himself for us. See, David Livingston didn't complain after all that he went through. Now, sure, we all have our moments of weakness, and we do a little complaining about something one way or another. But that's when we need to confess it to God. We need to accept the forgiveness that he offers us. But if we find ourselves complaining all the time or a lot of the time, we need to take some time and assess our relationship with God, because we've probably drifted away from him in some way. Usually that's because we haven't had enough quiet time with him, or not any quiet time at all. And by quiet time, I mean taking some time each day to spend in prayer, to read some from your Bible, and just sit quietly in his presence. And this doesn't have to be a long period of time. It can be just a few minutes. And it's not the end of the world if you miss a day once in a while. But you need to make every effort to have a quiet time with him every day. The more time you spend with God, the closer your relationship with him will become. And your life will become more and more Christ-centered. Just like Paul, your focus will be more on Jesus Christ and less on yourself. Now, it can be more difficult to keep your focus on Jesus when you're going through a difficult time. But there are some things you can do to help maintain that focus. And we're going to look at three of them this morning. They all begin with the letter R. So if you can remember the three R's, you'll be able to keep your focus on Jesus Christ no matter what situation you're facing. And your first fill in there is recognize God's hand in your circumstances. Recognize God's hand in your circumstances. So let's read through verses 12 through 14 again. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. So we've already talked about verse 12 and how Paul wanted everyone to know that through his situation, the gospel message was being spread. Then in verse 13, Paul said that as a result, and he means as a result of his efforts to make Christ known, the palace guards and everyone else that can hear him proclaiming the gospel message, it's clear to them that he's been put in prison simply because he's a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul can see God's hand in his circumstances. God will use any situation that we're in to teach us, to help us grow in areas of our life that we need to grow in, as long as we keep our focus on him. And that's why James said in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Then in verse 14, Paul explains that because other Christians are seeing him spreading the gospel message, even while he's in prison, it's giving them the confidence to share the message themselves, because they know that God is going to help them as long as they stand firm on his word. And this is the same thing Paul was commending Philemon for in Philemon chapter 1, verse 7, where he said, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." When our focus stays on Jesus, no matter what our situation is, it encourages others to stay focused as well. So you need to recognize God's hand in your circumstances, and you need to, number two, realize that there are two kinds of people in your life. Realize that there are two kinds of people in your life. So let's read through verses 15 through 17 again. "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains." So in Paul's case, he's saying that while he's in prison, some Christians are preaching the gospel out of goodwill. They're preaching it because they love Paul. They know the Lord brought him there to share the gospel message and defend the truth. And these Christians are like Peter and John back in the book of Acts. After the Pharisees commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus, we see them in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, they say to the Pharisees, "As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." See, when people are encouraged by our examples or examples of other Christians, they get excited about sharing Jesus Christ with others. And Paul also says there are others that are preaching the gospel for the wrong reasons. They're not really concerned with leading others to Christ. These folks are Christians, but they're preaching for the wrong motives. They're preaching because they wanted to bring attention to themselves. They were jealous of the way God had used Paul. And with him out of the way, they thought it would be easy for them to gain reputations as fearless preachers. And then they're also trying to make Paul jealous, that if they can get him thinking about their success, that it'll make him more sorrowful in his prison because he's not out there. These Christians are not true disciples of Jesus. They're focused on their own selfish ambition, not on Christ. There's going to be people like that in our lives as well. When we're going through difficult times, there'll be some of our fellow Christians, most of our fellow Christians, that will want to help us stay focused on Jesus Christ. They want to do that for our own good and for the good of the kingdom. But there will also be some that will only want to help in order to make themselves look good in others' eyes. Or some people may even just want to get a little bit of gossip to spread around about you. They're not true disciples of Jesus Christ. They're only focused on their own selfish ambitions. But we don't have to worry about them. We just need to keep our focus on Jesus. David talks about this in Psalm 37, verse 7, where he said, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." We don't have to worry about that. Just need to stay focused on Jesus. And the third R that we have that can help us keep our focus on Jesus Christ is rejoice whenever Christ is exalted. Rejoice whenever Christ is exalted. And we see this in verse 18 when Paul says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. See, Paul is saying, as long as the gospel message is being spread and people are being saved, it doesn't matter what motives are behind it. He's going to rejoice in knowing that the gospel message is still being spread. Now, it's usually not hard to recognize when somebody's motive in talking about Jesus Christ is to bring attention to themselves. A lot of times it looks something like this. It might be somebody reposting a lot of Christian sayings and pictures on their social media sites. At times even saying, if you really love Jesus, you'll repost this. And whenever you see that person face to face, then make sure they mention Jesus' name a few times. But as you continue to talk to them, or you look over the rest of their social media site, it doesn't take long to see that their focus isn't really on Jesus Christ. They're still living their lives the way they were before they came to know Jesus. But here's the thing, and here's what Paul is saying. We need to be careful. It's easy to do this, but we need to be careful that we don't judge people like this. If what they're posting or saying is true, if they're still speaking the truth, then God's going to use it to spread His word. He's going to use everybody. That was a hard thing for me to grasp at first as a Christian, is He'll use anybody and everybody that He can. If what they're posting or saying isn't true, then we need to bring it to their attention to help them get focused on Jesus. But as long as it's true, God's going to use that. We don't have to worry about people's motives. God is going to take care of that. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness, and it will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praises from God. Samuel Bengel was a worker with the Salvation Army in Boston many years ago. One night, while he was walking past a saloon, somebody threw a brick at his head. And their aim was good because he almost died. And as it was, he spent 18 months in recovery. During that time, he wrote a little book entitled Helps to Holiness, and thousands of copies were published. After he was able to start preaching again, people would often thank him for the book. He would respond by saying, if there had been no little brick, there wouldn't have been any little book. His wife saved the brick and had Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 engraved on it, which says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You see, Samuel Bengel didn't lose his focus. Even though he almost died and was probably in a lot of pain, his focus stayed on Jesus Christ and spreading the gospel message. And because of that, many lives were affected. See, God not only brought Samuel through this difficult situation, He also used Samuel for His purpose in a mighty way. If we keep our focus on Him, God will help us through any situation we might face. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. So when you're going through a difficult time, or if you're going through a difficult time right now, just remember the three R's. Recognize God's hand in your circumstances. See what he's doing. What do he want you to learn? Realize that there are two kinds of people in your life. Most of them want to make you feel better. They want to help you through this. But you're going to need to be aware of other ones too, with wrong motives. And then rejoice whenever Christ is exalted. Always give thanks for Christ. If you do these three things, you're going to be able to keep your focus where it belongs, right on Jesus Christ. And through him, that's where you're going to find the joy in any hardship that you're going to face. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for this message this morning. We thank you for opening our eyes to things we may not have thought of. And just thank you for having a plan for us. For every situation, you know the outcome, and you have a plan for us. As long as we stay focused on you, you're going to use us. You're going to grow us. You're going to teach us. Father, we thank you. It's so humbling to think that you, the creator of everything, would use us to do your work here on earth. Father, we can't thank you enough for all that you've done for us. And thank you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So focusing on Jesus is one of the reasons why we do communion as a church body. It helps remind us what Jesus has done for us. That he's forgiven us for our sin through his death on the cross. And communion is for believers in Christ. If you're not, if you haven't given your life to Christ, or you're not sure, it's okay to let the plate pass by. Nobody's going to judge you for that. If you haven't given your life to Christ, or you want to learn more about Christ, see one of us after the service. We'd love to pray with you and share with you. I'd like to take this time just to spend a few moments in silence and just reach out to God. Just confess any sin that you know you may have inadvertently committed, any mistakes you've made, and ask him to reveal anything to you that you may need to confess that you don't even realize. So just spend a few minutes in prayer with him. Guilt or any shame that you may have, just give it to him. Let him take it away and lift that burden off of you. Ask him to purify your heart as you take this communion this morning. When he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." This is the body of Jesus Christ. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." This is the blood of Jesus Christ. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this reminder of what you've done for us. Reminder that you sent your one and only Son here to die, take our place, and die for our sins. Thank you for offering us forgiveness through his life and death. Father, we thank you for opening a door through your Son to a relationship with you, that we can have a close, personal relationship with you every day. We don't have to walk alone. Thank you so much for loving us that much. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So, folks, we have some stuff out. Oh, you're going to...